Growing up in a small village in northern Sumatra, not far from Indonesia's ultra-conservative Aceh province, Jayanto Tan spent his youth hiding his identity. He says homosexuality was seen as a disease, and those thought to be gay were subject to discrimination and bullying. In search of acceptance, Mr. Tan made the move to larger cities, but found homophobia was rife across the country. So at age 26, he moved to Australia.
I decided I can't be bare, live in the secret. My community in Indonesia can say true about about the sexuality. When I was in Jakarta and also in Bali, in Jakarta, when we're going out, we never say we are gay, but negative feedback about homosexuality say, oh, homosexual, be careful, you got carry disease.
The 49-year-old became an Australian citizen in 2001. He's currently studying fine arts in Sydney, where he says he can comfortably and openly express his sexuality in public and through his art. Mr. Tan hoped that in the years that passed since he left, Indonesian attitudes to gay rights would have shifted. But a trip home last month confirmed little has changed since he left.
Even like last month, I went back to Bali, people still talking about this thing, the homosexual carrier disease. I think to myself, how I can do this to change their mind to thinking that homosexuality is not that disease.
Academics and activists say, if anything, the issue of gay rights in Indonesia is going backwards as the country's parliament moves to revise the Dutch colonial-era criminal code. Same-sex activity is legal across most of Indonesia. The northern province of Aceh, which is governed by Sharia law, is the exception. But that could change with plans to criminalise public displays of same-sex relations among proposed changes. Simon Butt, a professor of Indonesian law at the University of Sydney, says an overhaul of the criminal code has been mooted for many years.
So the basic framework for criminal law in Indonesia, including the prohibition of these types of moral offences, kind of remains pretty much as it was well over 100 years ago. As introduced by the Dutch. And for many decades, it's been proposed to change this code, to replace it with a modern Indonesian code.
Changes to the moral offences section of the code would see those found guilty of a public act of gay sex potentially sentenced up to 18 months in prison, while unmarried couples living together or those engaging in extramarital sex could also be prosecuted. Indonesia is the world's third largest democracy, but Professor Butt believes its status could be compromised if the laws are passed.
They certainly go backwards. Most Indonesians would call themselves religious. In fact, it's a requirement in Indonesia to have a religion. And most religions ban these types of practices, but it's quite another thing to say that the state should be in charge of enforcing those types of prohibitions.
Indonesia is also home to the world's largest Muslim population. Professor Butt says the force behind the draft laws are driven in part by the rise of hardline Islam that has emerged in recent years.
There's a conception, I think, quite appropriate, is that conception that some more conservative Islamic groups might be behind this push against the LGBTI community. And indeed, some of them have kind of called for the immediate passage of this new criminal code, which includes these morality offences.
Dede Utama, a gay rights activist in Indonesia, fears the country is creeping towards the Islamisation of politics, where moral conservatism is driving policy. He says ahead of the upcoming crucial provincial polls in June and the 2019 presidential election, many politicians are reluctant to speak out.
They are very careful. I mean, the ones that are would like to show some critical stance would just say, we have to remember our culture, and suddenly every politician in Indonesia now is playing the Islamic card. The promise of human rights, democracy is actually being put on hold almost with these elections.
Mr. Utama, who's been campaigning for gay rights for over three decades, says there is growing fear among the LGBTI community. He says if the proposed laws are enacted, it would give police and vigilantes more leverage to harass and discriminate against them.
They are worried, they are annoyed, they are scared. I mean, just to note, you know, that as I said, even before this revision of the criminal code, there have been raids of, you know, private sex parties, of gay clubs, and, you know, the flogging of the two guys in Aceh. I mean, we know things have happened, you know, in an increasingly conservative environment, but say 2016 at least. But this will be another blow to, you know, our rights.
Professor Butt says it's unclear if and when the laws will pass, as they are just one aspect of the revisions to the criminal code.
It's not just these moral offences that are involved here in the code amendments or the replacement process. It's a whole range of other things like anti-corruption reform, like the place of customary law, like the death penalty. All these things are on the table in respect of this code change.
He says disagreement on certain details is stalling progress. And while the changes could be enacted by the end of the year, Professor Butt says it's possible it won't happen until after the presidential election in 2019. Abby O'Brien, SBS News.